Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 12 minutes after 11 p.m. I want to know who's to blame for us being so late on the air here, Lisa.
Oh, I think we already know.
I'm thinking, who can we blame for being 12 minutes after 11 to start the show?
I think we already know, but we're going to keep it to ourselves.
Which means we're not going to be able to do a celebrity scoop in this hour.
I'm sorry, but we will do it hour two, and hour two, stay with us. We will give away a MyPillow at the beginning of hour two.
All right. Program 250 in the series. I'm your host, Carl Amari, and to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
I'm glad to be on, even though it's 11:12. We're still happy to be here.
Gosh. All right. In the booth is Shante Garth, which means we're going to be smooth sailing. This is January 20th. It's a Saturday. And tonight, all the way till 2 a.m., we'll be here with classic radio shows. We're going to start things off with the scariest of all the old-time radio shows, Lights Out, from 1943. And yes, you should turn your lights out when you're listening to the show.
I think we should, too.
Yeah, it'll make it more effective. Then it's the Jack Benny Program from 1951. Then it's Casey, crime photographer, a good amateur detective adventure. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. But we're not going to have Celebrity Scoop. We're going to listen to some commercial messages. Then we'll come back and tune in to Lights Out. Yeah, that's a perfect sponsor for this radio show, Lisa, because not only do I want to meet somebody, probably I should join, it's just lunch, but I like to eat.
Well, here's the thing. Do you know how to swipe?
No.
That's what I'm concerned about.
What do you mean swipe?
Don't you have to swipe or something?
I'm not going to swipe the poor girl's lunch. Why would I want to do that? She can have her own lunch.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
This week.
Do you have to be serious about dating? Are you serious about dating?
I'm serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm ready.
Lunch seems like the perfect
way. I'm going to write that number
way.
Down. That could be good, right?
All right. Well, we want to hear about your antics.
I like lunch. I like to eat.
Right.
And I like to meet girls. So this is perfect.
Exactly.
This week on Chicago's Best, move over. The cow is king. It's an all-new Chicago's Best Beef this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. All right, so we should tell everybody about our Facebook page and our text in line, right, Lisa?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. We have a lot of great stuff. We've got our schedule. We've got photos. We have a fun fact. All sorts of good stuff, so check it out. And, of course, you can always post there and communicate with us that way. We have a text in line. We are watching it hour by hour, minute by minute. Happy to talk to you live during the show, 312-981-7200.
Right, and I want to remind all of our listeners, talked about this a little bit last week, but we have a new app for the show. There's an app where you can digitally download 10 classic radio shows, and then you have hundreds more for in-app purchase. And the app is absolutely free. To get our new app, which has 10 free classic radio shows, just go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com. Scroll down just a little bit. You'll see a banner that talks about the new app that we have. And we'd love everybody listening to digitally download, or just you just click it. You just click the banner either on the App Store for Apple or on the App Store for Google, right?
Right.
Is that how it works?
Sorry, I just downloaded it, so I'm excited to have my 10 free classic radio shows.
10 free classic radio shows and hundreds more available on the app. So just check that out, WGNRadioTheater.com. All right, time now for Lights Out. Lisa, this was a horror radio show, and it was first heard on NBC right here in Chicago. It launched right here on WENR, which is an NBC affiliate. It was a 15-minute midnight serial to catch the attention of the listeners at the witching hour. But then it was expanded to a 30-minute show in 1935. It had grisly stories spiked with tongue-in-cheek humor And it really was the most horrific radio show of all. In 1942, Arch Obler took over the series, and he really made the show his own. It also moved to television in 1946, but we have a 1943 radio show written and hosted by Arch Obler. This is called The Fast One. It's from January 5th, 1943. Here's part one now of Lights Out.
Ionized Yeast presents Lights Out. Everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
My name, Arch Obler. Someone recently asked me, what would you do if you could get your hands on all the money in the world? And by one of those peculiar backflips, peculiar only to a playwright's mind, tonight's story happened. This is a story of a super crime. But before we start, Frank Martin has something to say to you.
We're all expecting big things of this new year, 1943, and I personally hope that everything you're hoping for comes true. On the other hand, you can scarcely expect to win out if you don't feel good. So if you're miserably thin and run down, weak and nervous, always tired, and if it's only because you need more vitamin B and iron than you're getting from your meals, take this friendly tip. Try ionized yeast.
Lights out. Everybody.
But my dear Mr. Finn, $5,000.
$5,000. $5,000. What do you think you're doing, bidding at an auction sale?
I am bidding for your services. And if a $5,000 retainer isn't enough, why, name your own price. I'm not here as an individual. I'm the representative of a group of casualty insurance companies who handle practically all of the burglary insurance in this entire area.
Well, if you're that important, talk important money. $10,000 cash.
Very well. I'll write you a check.
Fenn Detective Agency. F-E-N-N.
Yes.
$500,000 stolen in broad daylight and no witnesses. A very clever criminal, whoever he is.
But surely you don't believe only one man has committed all these crimes?
Whenever there is greatness, even in crime, the answer is a man. One man.
25 places robbed both sides of State Street, 25 stores robbed in the space of 30 minutes, and you talk of one man?
He's very clever.
No one man could rob 25 places, spreading over a distance of 3 blocks in the space of 30 minutes.
No?
Of course not. Banks and department stores and loan companies. Cash registers cleaned out. And not a clue, not a witness. The devil alone knows what this is all about.
The devil alone.
City morgue. Oh, hello, Chief. Yeah, he's been here 2 days in a row. Yeah, all he looks at is the bodies of the hit and run. Listen, Chief. Here he comes now. Yeah. Okay, I'll try to find out. Yeah. Hiya, Mr. Finn. Early today, ain't you?
Quickly, show me the new ones.
Yeah, sure. Why not? The same kind?
Yes.
Okay. This one's name is... it's on the tag here. Morrison something. Relatives ain't claimed him yet. Look at him. Smashed up pretty, ain't he?
Never knew what struck him.
I'll say he didn't. The way that skull... well, I bet you he went out just like that.
I'm no longer interested in this one. Where's the next?
Coming up. Wait till I put this fella back on ice. Let me see. Where'd I put the dame? Oh, yeah, here she is. Kid. Whoever the rat was, it is her. Must have bust the front end of his crate. Look at her. Ain't much of her left to tell who she was, is there? Only identification on her was her first name in a book. Let me see, Libby. Yeah, that's what it was, Libby. Gosh, if this was my girlfriend and any hit-and-run rat did this, I'd find him even if I... Hey, Mr. Fenn, what's the matter? What are you laughing about? It ain't funny. The girl's face, it smashed her. What are you laughing about?
I know. Now I know.
Read all about a hit-and-run driver killed, mister. Which one would it be, sir?
No, I don't want a paper. I want to talk to you here.
Oh, thanks, mister. Thanks, sir. What you want to know?
There was a little accident on this corner yesterday, wasn't there?
Yeah, sure. Some dame got her head almost cut off by one of them hit-and-run guys. See, you should have seen it made me so sick I couldn't...
Yes, but that doesn't concern me. What I want to know is, did you see the accident?
You mean the car would done it?
Yes.
Well, no, not what you could really say. You've seen it. No.
Speak up.
Don't get sore. I'm telling you, I was just closing up my stand, ready to go home, seeing I have my back kind of to the street. See, all at once I hears a whoosh and a dame screams, and then a whoosh again like one of them there race cars at the speedway, like she sees in the newsreels. When I turned, there's a dame dying out there, and honest, mister, the hack's out of sight already. I don't see nothing, no, sir.
You don't see nothing.
No, sir. Why, that guy must have been going 100 miles an hour. He ain't even got lights on, no, sir.
You. Hey, you. Hold on there. I want to talk to you.
Are you talking to me, copper?
Oh, wise guy, huh? Listen, you, what's the idea of cross-examining everybody in this neighborhood?
Now, just a minute before you start using that nightstick, you better have a look at this.
Why... Oh, you're a private detective.
Mm, brilliant.
Well, no. How was I supposed to know that...
Well, you know it now. Tell me this. What do you know about the hit-and-run cases in this district?
Oh, that's bad, sir. But what can I do? Drunken rats driving without lights and giving no warning? We'll get them tonight, sir. Believe me, we will.
What do you mean?
There's going to be 10 squad cars touring this district.
Just a moment. One question. Have you been hearing any peculiar noises on your beat? Noises like an airplane motor when there wasn't anything in the sky?
Go on now. You're kidding me. Say, look at the time. I better get moving on me beat or the sergeant will be shooting his mouth off. Anything else I could tell you?
Yes. This restaurant we're in, Father, is it a good place to eat?
Yeah. Bill Lewis's place is okay. He's off in Washington, but his wife's running it. Nothing like the Ritz, but it's okay. Well, I'll be seeing you.
You're mistaken.
What'll you have, sir? Nice dinner?
Coffee.
Piece of nice fresh pie. Apple, peach, cherry.
Apple.
Yes, sir, right away.
I beg your pardon.
Where did you come from?
I followed you in. I wish to speak with you.
I don't want to buy anything.
I am not selling. Just like you, I am asking questions.
Eh?
I have been watching you. All afternoon, you have been asking many questions.
What's that to you?
I am a Bellini, Dr. Bellini. I live in this neighborhood. I am interested in whatever goes on in it.
Well, glad to meet you, Doctor. Maybe you can tell me. Have you heard any unusual noises during the late afternoon and evening hours? A noise you couldn't quite locate or explain?
Noises? What noises? You are a detective.
Why do you ask that?
As a physician, I pride myself on my powers of observation. You are a detective, eh, my friend?
Yes.
Then come with me. Do not raise your voice now. This gun in my pocket will kill you. Walk slowly toward the door. Make no noise. Now, open the door and step outside. I advise discretion. I will be close behind you. Now, walk beside me down the street. A gun on your side and you laugh? Why do you laugh? Tell me.
I've been looking for you, Dr. Bellini.
Yeah? Why?
I must know your secret. I must.
Very well. But there is a price to pay.
Price? What is your price?
Death.
Mr.
ladies and gentlemen, a breath and a moment for relaxation before we return to the strange story of Bellini and Mr. Fenn, and the secret price of which is death. Yes, before going on with tonight's Lights Out story, a moment for relaxation and a return to the realities of today. For instance, here's a lady with a problem that's facing a lot of us these days.
Life is so hard lately. I feel it's my duty to do war work. Of course, I've got my home and the children to take care of. But how can I keep going when I'm losing weight? Can't eat or sleep. Oh, honestly, I'm so worn out and on edge, I don't know which way to turn.
You have a problem. But the solution may be easier than you think. As simple as more vitamin B and iron.
More vitamin B and iron? I don't understand.
Well, you see, when you don't get enough vitamin B from your food, then your appetite may be so poor that you don't eat enough to keep up your weight and strength. Or your food may not do you the good it should. And when you don't get enough iron from your meals, you may be weak and pale and listless.
But if I do need more vitamin B and iron, then what?
Then try ironized yeast tablets. They're ever so pleasant and easy to take, and they give you both vitamin B and iron. That's why ironized yeast tablets have been of such amazing help to thousands who only needed more of these substances. Help them gain wonderful new pep and strength and 5, 10, even more pounds of good new flesh, often in a few short weeks. Yes, indeed, ma'am. If you need more vitamin B and iron, by all means get ironized yeast tablets. Then see if pretty soon you aren't saying...
What a relief to be doing things again. I've forgotten what tired means. I've gained pounds. And thanks to ironized yeast, I feel wonderful.
I'm going to need an ironized yeast tonight because I didn't get a nap in earlier today.
What will ironized yeast do
for you? Ironized yeast will keep you peppy and awake and energized.
I think you need a little more than a little yeast for that.
You know that
I'm going to keep this clean, but I think you need other things for that.
Ironized yeast.
I'm not sure what, but I don't know if that's going to do it for
you. It works. All right, we're listening to Lights Out with the Fast One from 1943. Quick break, then it's news. We'll be right back.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. You need to turn your lights out because it's time for the conclusion of the Fast One on Lights Out.
And now back to Lights Out. Mark Fenn and Bellini are alone, and the detective is about to hear the secret whose price is death.
So, now we will not be disturbed, Mr.
Fenn, Mark Fenn.
Mark Fenn, the man who is willing to die to learn my secret.
I'll take my chances. Just tell me, how did you do it?
But first I will ask you questions. You are either a very clever man, Mr. Fenn, or a very lucky one. How did you suspect it was only one man?
I knew. It had to be one man.
But how did you correlate the missing money and the dead in the streets?
30 minutes to collect $500,000 and cover 25 stores. I knew you'd have to move fast. I figured someone would get hurt.
You are very clever.
You did do it, didn't you?
Come, I will show you. You will be the first to know, and the last. Here, sit here.
Yes, yes.
Now, what do you see in my hand, Mark Fenn?
A bottle. It's full of oil.
Not oil, you blind fool. Power, the key to the world. Listen to me, Mark Fenn. One drop of this in the world is mine. You believe, Mark Fenn? You believe what I tell you?
But what does that stuff do? You've got to tell me.
Speed. That's what it gives. Speed. Faster, faster, faster. Every atom in me faster. You do believe, Mark Fenn. You've got to believe.
But what? I don't understand it. What does that stuff do to you?
Oh, you fool. Why don't you listen?
But
speed. That's what it gives me. Speed. Every physical process, every mental activity, it speeds them up 10, 20 times the normal rate. Faster, faster. Every molecule. Listen. The average man walks 3 miles an hour. One drop of this, and I walk 60 miles an hour. Now you know my secret. A chemical which speeds up my activities until I am a god among men. A drop of this, one drop, and I walk and I run and I talk and I think 20 times faster than any other man in the world.
Oh, no, that can't be.
No? Then watch. I drink.
Doctor. Dr. Bellini. Where are you, Doctor? Where are you? Bellini.
Bellini,
what are you talking about? What are you saying? I don't understand. Stop it. Stop it, I say. Stop it! Bellini, you went away. Where? What happened to you? Why do you talk like that?
I told you all physical, mental processes speed up. Wait a second. Chemical effect will wear off completely.
That stuff, it makes you talk fast, is that it?
There. Effect is worn off. I'm back to normal rate again.
Where did you go? Where?
To prove to you that what I say is true. Look what I have in my hand.
Diamonds. Diamond necklace. Where did you...
From the window of that jewelry store 3 blocks away.
You were there and back in these few seconds?
20 times faster than any man can run, I ran in those few seconds. 20 times faster than any man can think, I thought in those few seconds. Now, do you believe, Mark?
It was you moving at 100 miles an hour that knocked down those people and killed them. It was you moving so fast, they were not hurt. Though they were hurt, but not you.
Yes, it was I.
It was you moving so fast they couldn't see you who took that $500,000 in cash from those stores.
Yes, I.
Me too.
You?
Yes, me. All my life I've wanted, Bellini, the power you've got now, Bellini... I want it, too.
But why? Why should I share it with you?
Because I can help you. Yes, that's it. I can help you. There's so much to do. You can rule the world, but you cannot conquer it alone. You'll need help, and I'll need help. You hear me, Bellini? I'll help you. I'll do anything you say, but you must let me join you. With the dream of all my life coming true. Power like... My God. Let me join you, Bellini. Let me.
Yes, I need a man like you. Together we will help the world.
And I say to you that this great and unprecedented crime wave which is sweeping our city is due entirely to the unholy alliance of crime and politics. Sweep the culprits out of office, and I tell you that our speech will be taken
off. I tell you, Mr. Mayor, I'm doing everything I can do. I've sworn in 1,000 extra deputies. I've got the force for the purpose.
And I tell you, fellow citizens, this alliance of the underworld and their masters can never be broken until we, the people, take matters into our own hands. Like the vigilantes of old, we must rise in our wrath and drive these vampires out of our fair city.
Destroy these vampires.
A revolutionist plot.
Unholy alliance of crime and politics. Oh, we have done well in these 10 days, eh, Mark Fenn?
Say we have, lady. $10 million. Nobody in the world ever collected money that fast.
It was good letting you join me.
I told you.
All the places where money is, you know.
But it's not money alone we want, Bellini.
Oh, I know. We have been just, testing our wings.
And now we're ready to go.
Yes. New concentrate of my chemical is ready. Today we have taken the city, tomorrow the world.
The world.
But now, while the city we have left behind us boils in the madness we have brought to it, you and I, we will rest, eh, Fenn?
You'll laugh again. Why?
I was thinking of the fun I had this morning.
Oh, you mean when we liquidated your enemies?
Dead. Every mother's son of them. Everyone that ever laughed at
me. Yes, dead, every one of them. And you go on to new triumphs.
They never knew what hit them. That's the only trouble with moving so fast, Bellini.
You mean when you struck them at 50 times the normal rate?
Yes, it was like hitting them with a 6-inch shell, their skull smashed in like empty eggs.
And you are disappointed because your revenge was over too quickly, eh, Mark Fan?
Yes.
What if I were to tell you that my new concentrate, the one we will use tomorrow when we arrive at the seat of your government in Washington, what if I were to tell you that this new concentrate is infinitely more powerful than the one we have been using?
More powerful? How can that be?
Listen, the one we have been using increases the physical and mental rate 20 times, is that not so?
Yes, talk, walk, run, and think 50 times faster.
So there you have it. With the new concentrate, talk, walk, think, and run an infinite number of times faster than normal.
You mean there's no limit?
No limit.
We'll move faster?
As fast as we like.
Say.
200, 300, 500, the limit will be our desires. A blur of light here, there, the next place. Masters of men. Because compared to us, men are snails who crawl while we run.
Masters of men.
Look, I brought the bottle. The new concentrate.
It looks the same.
Yes. Shall we try some, Mark Van?
I don't know.
We must try it sometime.
Yes.
It is the same basic formula as the other.
Sure.
I do not ask you to do what I will not do myself. We will take equal amounts and compare reactions.
How much, Bellini?
Two drops each. I have two medicine droppers ready.
Yes.
The moment we swallow the drops, we will move toward the... You see that barn across the field?
Yes.
We meet there and see how fast we can move. Here are your drops, Mark Fenn.
I...
Surely you're not afraid, my friend.
Afraid? Me? Oh, no, of course not. Give me those drops.
We'd bring together.
Yes.
Mark Fenn.
What?
Mark Fenn.
Bellini. What? What happened?
I am not quite sure.
The barn. We're lying by the barn.
We did get here. Mark Fenn, your clothes.
My clothes? Well, I'm naked.
I too. Mark Fenn, listen. We moved so quickly through the air, our clothes were torn off.
Yes.
The new concentrate, infinitely more powerful. We moved through the air at a tremendous rate, hundreds of miles.
Bellini.
What?
Your lips, they're not moving, and yet I hear you.
Your lips, they do not move either, and yet I hear you too. That cannot be.
What is it, Bellini?
Our reactions. The concentrate has speeded them up so intensely, we read each other's thoughts. No, do not move.
Why not?
The concentrate, it was too powerful. We must lie quietly until its effects wear off.
Yes, but... Bellini...
Ben... Why are you looking at me like that?
Your face.
My face?
Something's happening to it.
What? Speak up. What is wrong with my face? What? Yours.
What?
Your face. Creases in it. Lines.
And yours. That's what's happening to yours. Bellini. I feel, Bellini, what's happening? Tell me.
Age! That is it! Age!
Age?
Age! What? We are aging! We are aging!
Aging? What are you talking about?
Concentrate! Our physical reactions, they have been speeded up too much.
Tell me. What's that got to do with...
Listen to me. The concentrate, it has speeded up our life processes to infinity. Every second is aging us a year. Every second.
No. No, I'm a young man, Bellini. You're lying.
I'm not getting older. I'm not.
We are dying, my friend. Dying. Dying.
Oh, you lie, Bellini. I won't die. I won't die.
Death. And yet the solution works on in his flesh. Decay. No, I cannot die. Master of men, I cannot die. Master of
Mr. Obler, men who move with the speed of light. Now, I ask you...
Well, not exactly with the speed of light, but fast enough. It's all quite possible.
What is this about human beings moving as fast as light?
Well, rather than talk of that, I'd like to speak to all of you of something that's as real as the air you're breathing right now. You know, if we could put a little lights-out fantasy into the war, all we'd have to do to get more ships and planes and guns for our fighting men would be inject some of Bellini's wonderful speed-up serum in the arms of our workers. But the Japs and the Nazis aren't fighting this war with mere fantasy. They're using real bombs and bullets. And the only way to get more of the weapons of war into the hands of the men fighting and dying for us is for more of those who are not working at war jobs to get into war industry. Your work can help win this war. If you live in an area where there's a shortage of workers in the nearby war plants, get a war job. Go to your local United States Employment Service office. They'll tell you where to get free training courses and where you can be of most help. Remember, that's only if you already live in a production center that's short of workers. If you don't now live in such a place, don't move to one. See your United States Employment Service branch for information about future war jobs, which will be open to outsiders later after the acute housing and transportation problems have been solved in these crowded centers. Now, the surest way to put a Jap in the White House, yes, a Jap in the White House, and a Nazi at your front door, is to expect the other fella to win the war for you. So, if you're in a position to get a war job, get one as soon as possible. To work for victory is just another way of fighting for it.
Thank you, Mr. Obler. And now, what about next week?
Well, next week, a story I've been trying to write for almost 2 years. I started to write it for a broadcast with Norma Shearer a couple of years ago, but it just didn't write. Then I tried to write it for Betty Davis and Miriam Hopkins, but each of the broadcasts had to be changed because this particular play just didn't work out in my mind. Well, at last, the typewriter's been good to me, and the dictaphone has done its part, and the stenographer has done her work, and it's all on paper. Its title, The Mirror. The story? Oh, but as usual, that's next week.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at the same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Obler's weird story of The Mirror. And if you need more vitamin B and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. The one and only ironized yeast. With the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet.
It is later than you think.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Lights Out, January 5th, 1943, The Fast One, starring Lou Merrill. And there's a great picture of Lou Merrill sitting, like, waiting to go on the air with his script in his hand. Great picture, right, Lisa?
Yeah, posted on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook.
Check it out. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, the news is coming up. After the news, we'll be back with Hour 2. And it's the Jack Benny program from 1951. You won't want to miss that as he prepares for his fourth TV show. His TV show had just started. And they worked the TV show sort of into the radio show. They cross-promoted each other. That's what we need, Lisa. We need a television show.
We need a lot of things. The list just goes on and on.
Yeah. Well, we need a television show, right, that we can cross-promote.
That would be good.
What? So get going.
Get going
Come on
it.
Now, Lisa.
We're still working on our other radio show that's kind of sitting on the
Listen
sidelines.
Listen to Lisa and maybe Carl.
You know, can I mention really quickly what I saw?
Dax Shepard?
Yeah, so I saw a little quick video from the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and she had that regular recurring segment with Dr. Dax, which was Dax Shepard, and
yeah.
And people from the audience raise their hand and ask a relationship question, and surprisingly...
They stole our idea.
Yeah, and surprisingly great, Dax gets up there and answers them in a great way, and I said he stole our idea. It would work on radio.
He can't
I bet my life on it.
A candle to you.
That's
Lisa.
What I thought, and
Dax
I have you
Shepard.
For backup, so
right.
What else could
the
I want?
The show is called Listen to Lisa and Maybe Carl.
We have to make this happen. We
right.
need to work on this.
I you know, we'll,
all right.
we'll try.
I
and
really
we need
think,
a TV show.
All right, well, let's just add it to the list.
In the meantime, we have classic radio coming your way. Next hour, Jack Benny. After that, it's Casey Crime Photographer. Thanks for staying up late with us.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. This is our... Oh, I got him now. This is
yeah,
our
but you
two.
Sound drunk, and he sounded like he had hiccups.
I always sound drunk. This is hour two. It is 10 minutes after midnight. It's Sunday morning, and in this hour, it's the Jack Benny program, so stick around for that. Then after Jack Benny, we're going to tune into Casey Crime Photographer, and it's all brought to you by Cats Pride.
For Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Solo, a Star Wars story about Han Solo and Chewbacca's adventures before joining the rebellion.
Oh, man.
And the winner gets a MyPillow, which is a fantastic gift.
They're
so
not getting
luck.
MyPillow. I'm not giving up MyPillow.
No, a MyPillow.
Oh, okay.
Guaranteed the most comfortable pillow
I
you
like
will
my,
ever own.
I like my MyPillow.
I know. That's because I bought it for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be as good.
All right. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor played Mr. Bruner in The Edge of 17.
Okay, class, the young Mr. Lincoln.
Who is that actor? Why? Because there's
I always feel like you pick very esoteric movies.
Listen, our
listeners
are very smart. If I were to say it was this person from this television show, which he's best known for, or something else, they'd get it right away.
That's good. That's what we want.
No. 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? Give us a call. Win a MyPillow. We'll be right back.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play it again.
Okay, class. The young Mr. Lincoln.
Okay. We've got Steve on the line. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm terrible. I'm trying to fall asleep. I have a 30-year-old down pillow that has no feathers in it.
I wonder if we could help you out with that.
I can only hope.
I hope so, too. Who is that actor?
Woody Harrelson.
You know what? I think Woody Harrelson is going to be your key for sleeping better in the future because you just won a MyPillow, guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Check it out at MyPillow.com. What a perfect gift for you. So congratulations. But we don't want you to sleep too much because we want you to stay up till 2 a.m. Then you can go to sleep.
Sounds fair.
Okay. Take care. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. All right, Steve's a big winner. He won a MyPillow, and now our listeners are going to be big winners because we have the Jack Benny program. But we do want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line. It's 312-981-7200. Text us while the radio shows are on. We read all the texts. And one last reminder, the surprise boxes, Lisa, are doing very well. They've been a pretty big hit this week. And folks, if you don't know what I'm talking about, all you have to do is go to our website, WGNRadiotheater.com. When you do that, there's a pop-up, and there are three different surprise boxes that we're offering our listeners. We have a surprise box of classic radio on CD. We have surprise boxes of classic television shows and movies on DVD. And we have a surprise box of Twilight Zone radio dramas on CD. And for only $39.99 for each surprise box, you get $150 or more worth of brand new product still in the cellophane. And it's sent to you as a surprise. You get it in the mail and you open it up and voila, right?
A surprise.
It's a surprise. And you know what? A bunch of people ordered last week, and I did get already some texts and some emails from people saying that they love it because you get so much product in each. It's a pretty big box, and you get a bunch
what
of stuff in there.
What a great gift. I don't know. Valentine's Day is around the corner. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, check it out. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, and there'll be a pop-up that tells you all about this special offer. And when the product is gone, because I have a warehouse of product, when it's gone,
it's
no
gone.
More surprise boxes.
You know, speaking of Valentine's Day, Carl, I know you're kind of a romantic guy. You got anything on the docket?
No.
No.
Nothing.
I know you're pretty romantic.
Zero.
What are you
I'll probably stay in.
Take a
nap. Take a siesta. Go to bed early.
Take a nap.
All right, time for Jack Benny. And this is a broadcast from May 13th, 1951. He's preparing for his fourth television show. Exciting times. Here's part one now of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. With Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, on next Sunday, Jack Benny will be in New York doing another television show. And right now, he's home packing for the trip.
Gee, this is my fourth trip to New York this season. I like to travel. No, Polly, you can't go with me this time. I don't know where to live in New York. I wonder if I should stay at the Acme Plaza Hotel again. Yeah, I guess so. They're so considerate. They always give me a room with congenial people. Yeah, I guess I'll stay there. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
I hope you're packing enough clothes. You know, we'll be gone for 10 days.
Oh, yes, I've packed enough for both of us. Your pinstripe suit, my herringbone suit, your blue suit, my brown suit, your gray suit, and my tweed suit.
No, no, Rochester, it's my tweed suit. Remember, I won it back. You know, I beat you on that last poker hand. Don't you remember I had 4 aces?
Oh, yeah, I only had 3.
You know, it's fun playing with all the red cards wild. Now, finish the packing and remember what I told you. Remember what I told you to put in the suitcase.
Oh, boy.
Rochester, I don't care what you say. I'm taking it with me. So put it in my suitcase. I want to wear it on my arrival in New York.
Boss, if people want to throw ticker tape, they'll throw it. You don't have to wear that old army cap.
Well, maybe you're right. Anyway, after you finish packing, go out and polish the car.
Polish the car? Why?
Why? Because we're driving it to New York.
That car? Quiet, Polly. I'll handle this myself.
Rochester, there's nothing to handle. I'm driving my car to New York. And to keep the cost down, I put an ad in the paper for passengers to share expenses. In fact, I expect several people to drop in and see me. Well, I'm waiting. How come you have no comment on that?
I never interfere with a plot line.
Thank you. Hey, maybe that's someone now. Come in. Oh, it's you, Dennis. Come on in.
Thank you.
Dennis, what do you got in that package?
My pajamas. Can I sleep here tonight?
Well, I don't see why not. Why don't you sleep at home?
Oh, I don't like to be in a big house alone.
Alone?
Yeah, my parents did it again.
Did what?
Moved away and didn't tell me where.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Dennis, what did you do wrong this time?
Oh, if I tell you, you'll only side in with them.
Well, not necessarily, Dennis. What did you do?
I got up early this morning and fed the goldfish.
Well, why should your parents get mad at that?
I fed them to our cat.
Well, Dennis, that's the most awful thing that I've ever...
I knew you'd side in with them.
Well, certainly. Who could be on your side?
The cat.
Now, look, Dennis, if you want to stay here tonight, you can. But right now, leave me alone because I'm busy packing.
Why? You going someplace?
Yes, I'm going to New York. See, next Sunday, I'm doing my television show.
Oh, who's going to be with you this time, Mr. Benny?
Well, I'm going to have Rochester and Mary and Bob Crosby and another special guest.
Who?
Well, I'll give you a hint. He's one of the world's greatest golfers.
Uh-huh.
He won the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the Masters Tournament in Augusta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And they just made a picture about him at 20th Century Fox called Follow the Sun. Now, who is it?
Ben Hogan.
Hey. Hey, that's right, Dennis.
And the name of the actor who played his part in the picture is Glenn Schwinn.
No, Dennis, that's Glenn Ford. That's Glenn Ford.
I know, but if you mention Schwinn, they send you a bicycle.
Well, Dennis, I didn't think you'd stoop so low as to... Tell him to put a bell on mine, will you? What's the matter there, early? Something off in your script? By the way, Dennis, what song... Dennis, what song are you going to do on the program today?
Well, I'm going to sing a wonderful number I just recorded for RCA Victor called Mr. and Mississippi.
Well, let me hear it, Dennis, before you put you on your pajamas and go... Oh, hold it a minute, kid.
Okay.
There's the phone. Hello?
This is the long-distance operator.
Long distance?
Yes, I have a call from you from San Luis Obispo for Beanie.
Beanie? The name is Benny.
Gee, I thought I was talking to a television star.
Well, you are. As a matter of fact, next Sunday...
Here's your party.
Oh. Hello, Jackson. Phil, what are you doing in San Luis Obispo?
Me and my band played at one of the dance halls up here last night.
You did? How did things go?
Well, that's what I'm calling about. How would you like to do a little bail bond business?
Phil, you mean you and your boys are in jail?
I ain't calling from no drugstore.
What?
Good health to all from City Hall.
Phil, what happened at the dance that you boys got in such trouble?
Well, I get this call to come up here and play for the San Luis Obispo chapter of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Soft Shell Crabs.
Well, I didn't know they had a chapter in San Luis Obispo.
The main office is in Pismo Beach.
Oh.
Anyway, we come to the hall, we set up our instruments and start playing for the dance.
Uh-huh.
Everything goes along fine until about 10:30 when it's time for the waltz contest.
Uh-huh.
Suddenly someone in the crowd yells out, "Hey, Harris, how about singing That's What I Like About the South?"
Uh-huh.
Operator, you keep out of it. Go ahead, Phil.
So I start singing that little number that made me famous.
That was at 10:30.
Yeah, and at 1 o'clock in the morning with 20 courses to go, somebody dyed my hair with a ripe tomato.
No.
And before you could say spade coolie, everybody started throwing things at us. Them soft-shell crabs are murder.
Phil, you mean they threw soft-shell crabs at you?
No, the crabs were throwing them, too.
That must have been quite a rhubarb.
You ain't kidding, Dad. Everybody was in there fighting but Frankie.
Frankie Remley?
Yeah, he's just sitting there unconcerned until a Hubbard squash knocks the bottle out of his mouth.
Gee.
At this, he jumps up, runs around the back of the hall, and pulls the main light switch. But they could still see the bandstand, and we're getting it from all directions.
Well, Phil, how could they see the bandstand if the lights were on?
My drummer's head glows in the dark.
Oh, yes, you shouldn't have painted that moon on it.
All right, all right. And then about 2 o'clock,
Phil,
when the police came in...
Phil.
They... What?
Hang up.
Maybe you're right, Jackson. From here on, it just gets ridiculous. Now, how about that bail money?
I'll send it.
Now, for 18 men, it amounts to...
I know how much it amounts to. This is the third time this year. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jackson. Goodbye.
That Harris can get into more trouble than anybody I ever saw.
Will you keep quiet so I can sing?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Dennis. Go ahead.
Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and
Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. I can't recall my mother. I don't remember Dad. Mr. and Mississippi was all I ever had. Oh, I was born to wander. I was born to roam. And Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, I was born to wander. I was born to roam. And Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. My cradle was the river. My school a river boat. My teacher was a gambler, the slickest one afloat. My teacher was a gambler, the slickest one afloat. He taught me not to gamble on a petticoat. Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, I was born to wander,
I was born to roam,
and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, Betty May, I love you. I love you like a barefoot boy loves a summer day. The way a wandering gypsy loves the changing scene. Just like that restless river loves old New Orleans.
Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam.
I'd love a tiny village, a quiet country town, a house, a little garden with kitties running round. I'd be a faithful husband, oh, I'd be a trusting friend. Until I heard that steamboat coming round the bend.
Well, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam,
and Mr. Mississippi made me feel at home.
That's the first portion of the Jack Benny program, May 13th, 1951. Dennis Day singing there. And Jack and all the gang, Eddie Rochester Anderson. We had Phil Harris a little earlier. And still a lot more to go on this Jack Benny program. But first, we're going to go to a commercial break, then news. So stick around.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
We had a very nice text a few minutes ago by someone who got a surprise box of classic radio, right?
It's from Mary. She said it's great and she's looking forward to hours of listening pleasure. And so we appreciate that. So I told her that's great. So enjoy it. And she said she would, but not while our radio show is on.
Right.
So
she's a, that's a true loyal
fan,
listener.
So we appreciate
that.
Yeah.
These surprise boxes are, there's classic radio. There's classic movies and DVD, which I think Roger would like. Oh, classic Roger. Movies.
We're going to charge Roger double though. Because you know.
Of course. But I
you can afford it.
I must tell you, the surprise box that I got last week hit a home run.
Oh, yeah. That's yep. So nice.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
hit a
great.
Home run.
We know how to do it right.
You
Roger.
Sure do.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah, these surprise boxes are doing well. There's, as I say, the old-time radio surprise box, which has $150 worth of classic radio shows on CD, only $39.99. And then there is the classic movies and classic TV. on DVD, and then the Twilight Zone radio dramas on CD. So if you want to learn more about it, it's fun. You'll get a big box sent to you. You open it up, there'll be all kinds of fun stuff, all brand new in the cellophane. And best way to check it all out is go to WGNRadioTheater.com. That's our website. There's a pop-up right there. You can't miss it.
I feel like you should give them a deal if they order all three surprise boxes.
Yeah, it is a deal. You get, if they order all three, they get $450 worth of product for only $39.99 times three.
I know. That's just my advertising background. What can I tell you?
As we say in our neighborhood, such a deal.
Such a deal.
Such a deal. So check it out, WGNRadioTheater.com. And once again, our text in line, 312-981-7200. We love hearing from our listeners. And Lisa, you didn't have a nap today either?
I did not nap today, but I don't usually nap on the weekends.
You know what happens when you come down here later? She'll be in the corner in a fetal position.
I know,
you've seen her do it before.
You know what?
Well, you know what happens to Carl when he doesn't nap?
What?
He gets mean.
Really?
Yeah, he gets cranky and mean. Really? I already had to calm you down at the beginning of the show. You were pretty aggravated.
Because
we started about 10 minutes late.
18 minutes after 11.
You should have seen him. He had smoke coming out of his ears. I had
really?
To calm
well,
him down.
I heard the steam. Yep. I heard it going.
Did you smell it?
I didn't want to get into that.
Wow.
So
I didn't have a nap either, so I may curl up in the other corner.
Let's all take a nap together.
Let's do it together.
But we got to stay awake to listen to these great shows.
That's for sure.
And we are listening to one of the greatest, the Jack Benny program. Let's go back to May 13th, 1951. Here's the conclusion, Jack and all the gang.
That was very good, Dennis. Mr. and Mississippi. Would you mind sending me a record of it?
Well, you can buy one for 85 cents.
Well, what's on the other side?
Mule Train by Lily Pons.
Cut that out, will you, Dennis? You know, Dennis, I just can't shout anymore. You know what I mean? Dennis, sometimes you say the silliest...
Want me to get that, boss?
No, I'll get it. Oh, hello, Don.
Well, hello, Jack. Just came over to say goodbye and wish you good luck on your TV show.
Oh, thanks, Don. Come on in. Say, Don, you know, I have a wonderful idea for a commercial on my television show. I'm going to have the quartet come on dressed up.
Well, now, wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute. The sportsmen won't be able to be with you in New York.
They won't? Why not?
Well, they're opening at the Chicago Theater on May 18th.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Don. How can they do a thing like that to me? The season's not even over yet, and they have the nerve to go out and play a theater.
But, Jack, you booked them.
Oh, yes. Well, Don, look at. Then you'll have to do the commercial.
Me?
Yes.
But, Jack, just standing up doing a commercial on TV isn't funny. I won't get any laughs.
Well, maybe you're... Hey, wait a minute, Don. I just thought of a wonderful idea. Now, every announcer does his commercial standing up.
Well, of course. How else can you do it?
Well, just for a novelty, this will be great on television. I'll have you lying on a chaise lounge with a rose in your hair. And when you read the commercial, everybody will scream.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Nobody's going to laugh at anything that corny, and I'm not going to do it.
Don, it'll get laughs, believe me. Now, Don, let's try it. Now, make believe we have a chaise lounge here. Now, lie down on the floor.
Oh, Jack, this is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of.
Don, believe me, I know what I'm doing. It'll be terrific. Now, lie down on the floor.
Oh, all right.
But do it gently. We don't want to disturb the seismograph at Berkeley. Now, Don, look, I'll hold the microphone. I'll hold the microphone down close to your face there. Now, go ahead, Don. Read the commercial. They'll love it. They'll scream. Wasn't that clever? And listen, Don, I've got a Lulu for the next television show. You're going to read the commercial while standing in quicksand. Of course, you may have to talk fast to finish it, or the last few lines will sound like Shep Fields. Now, Don, if you'll excuse me, I've got to finish my packing.
Oh, that's all right, Jack. I've got to run along anyway. It's Mother's Day, and I haven't got my mother a present yet.
Oh.
See, I don't know what to buy her.
Well, Don, I would suggest flowers or perfume or maybe a box of fudge.
A box of fudge? Hey, that sounds good.
There you are, Don.
Here, Jack.
Thanks. Well, so long, Don. See you later.
Goodbye, Jack.
Rochester, put back the perfume and the flowers. He took the fudge. You know, that's really going good today, isn't it?
That goes good every day. I wish we could get rid of some of these petunias.
We will, we will. Now, let's see. I'll have to...
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, are you still here?
Yeah, as long as I got my pajamas, I think I'll go upstairs and go to bed.
All right, Dennis. You take the lower bunk.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see.
Boss, you haven't got bunks in your room. It's just a single bed.
Well, he doesn't know the difference. He sleeps under it, you know? Now, come on, Rochester. Let's finish our... There's the doorbell. I'll get it. Oh. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? Are you the little old party who advertised for passengers to New York?
Why, yes. Yes, I am. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you.
Have a seat, Miss...
I'm Miss Lee, Scarlett O'Hara Lee.
Scarlett O'Hara. Oh, you must have been named after the heroine in Gone with the Wind.
Yes. You see, my mother was crazy about Gone with the Wind, and I was born while she was in the middle of it.
Reading the book?
No, watching the picture.
Well, it was a long picture, you know. Now, Miss Lee, about the trip to New York...
Excuse me, but y'all didn't tell me your name.
Beanie. I mean, Benny. I'm Jack Benny.
Jack Benny? The radio comedian?
That's me.
Say something funny.
Well... Rochester, what are you doing?
Calling one of your riders.
Never mind. Now, Miss Lee, getting back to the trip, you see, I intend to leave for New York tomorrow.
Well, that suits me just fine.
Oh, by the way, Miss Lee, what are you going to New York for? Look for a job?
No, I don't need a job. I came into a lot of money when my uncle in Texas passed away.
Oh, was your uncle in Texas rich?
No, but when they were digging his grave, they struck oil.
What a way to go.
Way to New York. Would y'all mind driving through Chattanooga?
Chattanooga, Tennessee? Why?
Well, that's my hometown. And next week they're holding their annual Fritter Fry, Corn Pone, Chitlin, and Hominy Possum Bake Festival.
Yeah, I wish Phil Harris were here to interpret that for me. All I understood was and festival. Well, I'm very sorry, Miss Lee, but that's a little too far out of the way. You see, we're going through Salt Lake City, Cheyenne, Omaha, and Chicago. Wouldn't you like to go the northern route?
If you weren't so cute, I'd slap your face.
Well, you're cute, too.
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny, but I wouldn't miss that little festival for all the yams in Louisiana.
Well, I'm sorry, too. Anyway, it was nice meeting you, Miss Lee. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Gee, I... Gee, I'm sorry she's not making the trip with us. We're giving me someone to play gin rummy with. Well, I better finish.
Oh, Mr. Benny,
Dennis, I thought you went to bed.
I did, but I was tossing and turning. I can't fall asleep.
Why not?
You forgot to kiss me goodnight.
Dennis, go back under the bed.
Yes, sir.
Rochester, when he goes in the room, lock the door so he won't... I'll get it. Yes?
How do you do? Are you the party that advertised about a trip to New York?
Yes, yes, I am.
Oh, well, I'm Mr. Parsons, and this is my wife.
How do you do?
Well, come right in, and... Oh, what a cute little baby. Is it a boy or a girl?
A boy.
Yeah, I thought so. Looks like it from here. Here, sit down, Mrs. Parsons. You must be tired carrying the baby.
Thank you very much.
Hello, baby. A kitchy-kitchy-goo! Oh, look. His eyes are just like mine, aren't they?
Are your eyes blue?
Bluer than the right shoulder of a left-handed iceman. Now, Mr. Parsons, do you and your wife... Oh, silly me, I forgot to introduce myself.
Oh, I know you. You're Jack Benny. I used to see you every Sunday afternoon.
You did? Oh, are you in radio?
Yes. I'm a janitor at NBC.
Well, how come you're going to New York?
CBS bought me. Now, Mr. Benny, could we take a look at your car and see if there'd be room for the baby?
Well, of course, certainly. It's right out in the driveway there. Right this way, folks. Well, here's the car. What's wrong with the baby?
Mr. Benny, is this the car you're driving to New York?
Yes, and if you'd like, I'll give you a demonstration. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss?
I want to take these people for a drive.
Coming!
Now, come on, folks, jump in.
We'll have to. There's no door.
It's around on the other side. Come on. Now, go ahead, Rochester. Start the car.
Yes, sir.
Something's wrong with the motor. Rochester, did you clean the spark plugs this morning?
I not only cleaned them, I had a long talk with them.
Never mind. Try it again.
Yes, sir.
Ah, there we are. Now, Rochester, drive down towards Sunset Boulevard.
Wait a minute, Mr. Benny. Before you start, I'd like to change places with my wife.
Why?
I'm afraid she's uncomfortable. And I think I have the softer orange crate.
Oh. It's quite all right, John.
See how nice she runs? The way she takes the bumps? Isn't it nice with the top down?
Yes, it is.
John! John, look at the baby! He's grown hair!
That's mine. It blew off. Don't drive so fast, Rochester. I'll take it a little easier.
What was that?
Our taillight just fell off.
That's all it was. I guess it wasn't on very tight.
What was that?
One of the hubcaps.
Well, you see, those are things that we can easily...
Well, there goes the fender.
Well, for heaven's sake, aren't you going to stop and pick them up?
No, later we turn around and follow them. That's where we find our way back home.
Rochester, stop making things up. These people are interested in taking the trip with me to New York.
Mr. Benny, I don't think we'll be interested in making the trip in this car.
Just a minute, Mr. Parsons. You shouldn't back out just because a few minor things went wrong. That could happen to any car.
I'm sorry, but I wouldn't risk going another block in this old junk.
Old junk? Look, it's not brand new, but they don't make cars like this anymore.
Mr. Benny, I'm a janitor, and I've swept up better things than this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, look, Mr. Parsons.
Mr. Benny, I don't want to argue about it. Come on, honey. Let's get out of the car. We'll take the bus.
Yes, dear.
Some people can never be satisfied.
You're right, boss. You'd think they'd at least give the car a fair trial.
A fair trial?
Yeah, we ain't out of the driveway yet.
Oh, well, come on. Let's push it back into the garage. Right? Happy Mother's Day, and good night, folks.
Stay tuned to the Ennis Nanny Show, which follows immediately. The Jack Benny program is heard by our armed forces overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is the Jack Benny program, May 13th, 1951, is heard on CBS. That was originally sponsored by Lucky Strike. We removed all of the Lucky Strike commercials. Jack is heading to New York to do his fourth television show. And you heard Mel Blanc there playing the voice of the little baby, and then also was the vocal sounds of the jalopy that they were driving, the Maxwell car. He was the motor starting. It was all done with his vocal cords, the man of a thousand voices, Mel Blanc right there. Hope you enjoyed the Jack Benny program. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Never missed a single episode of the Wonder Years when it was on.
I'm with you.
Fred Savage, originally a Chicago boy.
Yep, he was.
Right here. And when that show was on the air, I was absolutely hooked on the Wonder Years.
We all were. It
Man,
was a really unusual way. I don't think that was really done before, the way that he narrated it from his self-conscious, and we could hear his
Daniel,
his
I think it's Daniel Stern was the voice. Remember one of the guys from the City Slickers?
Mm-hmm.
There was Bruno Kirby, of course, Billy Crystal, and Daniel Stern. Daniel was the voice of the elder, you know, of the his voice as a grown-up,
mm-hmm.
Fred Savage. Great series
it
and
really
terrific
was.
Actors on that program. Of course, Winnie Cooper. Remember, he was in love with Winnie.
It's Danica something.
Yeah. Danica Pat? Name. No, that's Danica the... No. Something. Danica something, yeah. Boy, oh boy, yeah. It was kind of crazy driving there. There was that same kind of... Remember, Roger, we were talking about this the other day, right over there by Rush? There was a whole bunch of cars all...
He's all upset because, again, he had to go around the cars
to make a right
turn.
I had to go around all... I have to be like
Mario. It's a lot of work.
Mario and Andretti.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Wow.
So,
I thought I called them to make sure they cleared out the way for you.
You didn't?
I really tried.
Which way do you go to get home, Roger?
I go crazy. What do you want?
Yeah, I know.
What? Oh, no.
You take Lakeshore Drive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm on Lakeshore. How could you forget? I'm on Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, wait a minute. That explains everything. That explains it all. He's on LSD.
Hello.
Okay. So you don't go that way, Roger. Oh no, he's pounding his head. He's pounding his head against the wall. But that does explain everything, Roger.
Okay, I'm glad it does.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it was explaining, but as long as it explains it.
Yeah, it does definitely explain it. So you know what I'm talking about over there by Rush? What is with these people?
There's the hotel on the corner. It's just gets
they
really
park.
Busy there, the Marriott.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's the hotel.
In order to get around the cars, I have to literally go
Can
into the...
Can you imagine you have to switch lanes to
you know
make
what you
a
need?
Right turn? It's really
you
a lot of work.
You need the thing that the fire trucks and the ambulances use.
Oh.
Where as you're approaching the intersection,
yeah.
they hit
the
switch
light
and the
green.
Light switch
right.
so that you can go straight through.
That's what Orson Welles had, you know, when he would go from one radio station to the other. He used to take an ambulance. You know that?
No, I did
yes.
not know that.
This is not a joke.
Wow.
Orson Welles was on so many radio shows back in the 1930s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
that he had to go from one studio, like let's say he was at NBC, he have to go over the Mutual, back to NBC or over to CBS, and he would pay ambulance drivers to be right there at the door.
The entrance.
So he'd come down, he'd rush down, jump in an ambulance, and then he'd whisk him to the other studio. This is true.
That would no longer happen today.
No, I know. Well, this is back.
Back in the day.
Well, now they have limousines waiting for these people.
Well, I know how that works, Roger.
Well, of course. I mean, I know you've got like five of them waiting
I know.
For
I just need one.
She just
one. I can see him. He's sitting right out on Michigan
you
Avenue with a little hat on.
The helicopter
Sweet.
That she has.
I know.
And helipad and all that.
Well, I
and,
don't like to talk about
well,
it.
Well, you know, Batman's got the Batcopter.
Right.
Lisa's got the Wolfcopter.
And she has one private plane. I thought she had two, but she only has one. But
it's not really
it's
mine.
A 12-seater.
It's a family heirloom.
Yeah, but you get priority.
Yeah, she
well,
takes it worth
that's
it.
Just life.
I might need it. I want to go on vacation. I might need it. Can I borrow it?
You have fun.
As long as you pay for the fuel.
All right, well, it's time for the news. When we come back, it's Casey, crime photographer. You won't want to miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, hour three of the WGN Radio Theater program, 250 in the series, if you're listening on our podcast, which comes on right after we get off the air. I mean, Shantae gets that podcast up. I'm driving home listening to the podcast.
I'm serious. It goes up about 2:05.
She's awesome. We love her.
It's remarkable.
Yep. And in this hour, it's Casey, crime photographer from 1947, and it's brought to you all by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film Incredibles 2 about Mr. Incredible. I think they're talking about you, Coral, who is left to take care of Jack-Jack while Elastigirl is out saving the world.
Yeah.
And the winner is going to get a Twilight Zone, a 4-CD set.
Nice. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress starred as Ed in one of my favorite movies of all time, Raising Arizona.
We are doing the right thing, aren't we, Hi? I mean, they had more than they could handle.
Who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
This is WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that movie clip one more time.
We are doing the right thing, aren't we, Hi? I mean, they had more than they could handle.
Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. Glad you called in. Who is that actress? Carl cannot stop smiling.
Oh, I just
thinking
love
about this movie.
It's a great movie.
That is the immortal Holly Hunter, and I would agree, not only one of the funniest films ever, but my favorite Coen film of all time.
It's a great movie.
And very Sam Raimi-esque, if you will, another friend of theirs, who they did a movie called Crime Wave with, if you've ever seen that.
I have not seen that, no.
I haven't either.
The Coens and Sam Raimi did it, and it's phenomenal. You got to see it. Crime Wave. I got
Crime
it on a
Wave.
VHS.
Okay.
Yeah, an old
cool.
gas station. I found
Crime
it.
Wave.
You have it on VHS, on tape, you're saying?
I indeed. I have it
That's
on a,
so
an original VHS, and it plays great. And VHS is still the bomb, but I mean, I like everything. You know.
That's so funny. If the movie still works, go for it, right? And Holly Hunter's right, and she's fantastic. And you are a winner, and you've won some Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set, so we hope you enjoy that as well.
Super cool. Rod Serling all the way. Love him.
Thanks,
Matthew.
Take care.
Take care, my friend. Appreciate you. All right. Well, Matthew's a big winner. It's time now for Casey, crime photographer. This was an amateur detective series, came to radio in 1943. Casey was a newspaper cameraman, Lisa. He took crime scene photos, and his keen eye for detail served him well at solving the crimes he was assigned to photograph. And while waiting for his next assignment, he killed time with his gal pal Ann Williams at the Blue Note Cafe run by Ethelbert the bartender. That's like me and you. When we're waiting to go on the air, we go next door here to, what's the name of this place next
door? Howls and Hood.
Yeah, Howls and Hoods.
Howls and Hood.
Howl and Hood. Lisa and I go over there. We have a burger sometimes. And Lisa never brings her wallet. Well, you get a turkey burger sometimes.
No, I do not eat that.
Lisa never has her wallet with her.
Well, that's true.
And so it's like we go over there, and it's kind of a fancy place.
It is.
So,
it's a really nice place.
You know,
that's about as nice as I've ever go.
Bottled water, right?
I'm used to Chipotle.
Her fizzy water, and then a salad or a turkey burger. And,
I don't eat turkey.
You know, she'll be like, I'm hungry. You want to go over there and get something to eat? And I'll be like, thinking to myself, yeah, she doesn't have her wallet with her, I'm sure. And
I don't.
No, Lisa doesn't carry any money or anything with her.
Yeah.
No. That's good, though, actually.
Do I need to?
It's probably no.
I didn't think so.
I'm only joking. I'm only kidding around.
No, I know.
I'll treat you anytime, Lisa Wolf.
Well, I'm going to keep that in mind, Carl Amari.
Anytime at all.
I don't think that's true, but I'll take you up on
that. I'm old-fashioned. I would never, ever, have I ever gone anywhere with you and expected you to pick up the check?
No, but on the other hand, it's not like we're on a date. I understand that kind of chivalrous
I don't
move,
care. If I'm out with a woman, I said girl earlier. I meant, if I'm out with a woman, whether it's a friend,
it's okay. I'm a girl,
or a date or whatever. No way. I would never. My mom would be so mad at me if I ever made a girl split the check.
Well, I don't ever argue that hard either. I just say thank you, and I don't
old-fashioned that way.
But I tend not to order the most expensive thing on the menu like some people do.
You know, I get that younger people do that. They split it and all
they
that kind
Venmo
of stuff.
Each other.
But I'm from that old school. I would never, ever do that. I've never, ever let a girl pay half or the whole thing or anything like that. Never, ever.
All right. Well, then I'll keep that in mind when I order next time.
I think
time.
The guys that are my age, you know, 50 and a little bit older, understand that. I mean, just...
Not everybody shares that sentiment, even those who are your age.
I would say most. All right. Well, we got off on a tangent.
When I go out with my husband, I pay. No, I'm just kidding.
It's time for Casey Crime Photographer, May 22nd, 1947. This is called The Pickup, and it stars Stotts Cotsworth. Part one now of Casey Crime Photographer.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hey, Ethelbert, do you ever take a word association test?
I don't think so. How's it go?
Oh, it's simple. Look, I give you a word and you answer immediately with the word that comes into your mind, see?
Okay, try me.
All right, red.
Blue.
Boy.
Girl.
Run.
Walk.
Bottle.
Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey Crime Photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Pickup. Nine o'clock in the evening, the Blue Note Cafe. Ethelbert, the head bartender, is chatting with a customer, a tall, thin, white-haired man with a gentle face, when he hears a familiar voice.
Hi, Ethelbert.
Huh? Oh, good evening, Casey. Excuse me, will you, Mr. Hutchins?
Sure, Ethelbert.
I ain't seen you all day, Casey. Where you been?
Oh, I've been busy, pal.
You told me you were on the lobster shift this week, which means you don't start to work till midnight.
Listen, shut-in, this is spring. Miss Williams and I have spent the day in the park. We've been taking pictures of the birds and the bees.
Where's Miss Williams?
I left her at the office. Hey, look, give me four packs of cigarettes, will you? Two of Miss Williams' kind, two of mine.
Okay.
Hey, listen, pal, wait a minute.
Huh?
Who's the guy you were talking to when I came in? His face is familiar.
Oh, he's Britt Hutchins, Casey, the horse trainer.
Oh, sure, yes. Well, what's he doing in town? His stable is racing out west right now.
I got an idea. He's here looking for the murderer of Cass Marlin.
Yeah?
You know, Cass Marlin was the jockey who got bumped off down in Florida just before he was to ride.
Yeah, of course I know.
Yeah.
Well, did Hutchins say that he was looking for the murderer?
No, I just got the idea because he and Cass were such good friends.
Uh-huh.
All he really said about the killing was what the papers had been saying, that it's still a complete mystery who done it.
Well, it's pretty obvious why it was done. With Cass Marlin in the saddle, Fireball will have won the Alderstone Trophy race.
I hear the cops have questioned Steve Harold about it. He's supposed to have won a lot of money when Fireball didn't even show.
Well, they've questioned all the big bettors who've been known to fix things when they can. But Captain Logan investigated Steve Harold at the request of the Florida police and found that Steve looked pretty clean for once. Listen, you know, I think I'm going to have a talk with Britt Hutchins. He trained Fireball, and as you say, He and Cass were pretty close.
You won't get any more out of Hutchins than I did, Casey.
That's what you think, pal. Say hello to him anyway. Hi, Britt. Remember me? Casey, Morning Express.
Casey. Oh, yeah. Hi.
How about Sam? You know, we've been hearing a lot about the Cass Marlin killing up here. I knew Cass pretty well, so...
If you're gonna pump me for inside dope on it, fella, I don't know any. Cass was like a son to me. He worked for me. He was set to ride one of my horses. One of my owners, Mr. Ashley's horses, I mean. When somebody put a bullet in his head and... That's the whole story, as far as I'm concerned.
I see.
Well, guess I'll be going. Got business to tend to.
Yeah, okay, Brett. Well, I'll run into you again sometime. So long.
So long, boy.
I'll see you later, Ethelbert.
Going so soon, Casey?
Well, I gotta take Miss Williams her cigarettes.
Didn't I say you'd get the old brusheroo?
I hate guys who pull the I told you so gag. So long, pal.
Excuse me.
Huh? Yeah?
Your name's Casey, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Morning Express photographer.
Right again.
Let's take a walk.
Well, say, it's a little sudden, sister. I don't think I know you. Or do I?
You don't.
Well, then what's...
Call it a pickup.
Well, I don't go in for pickups.
Well, call it anything you want till we get someplace where we can talk alone. I've got news to sell. You interested?
Always. Okay, where are we going?
Well, there's a little place around the corner, Farley's Tavern. That suit you?
Mm-hmm. It'll do. But I don't like the place from a social standpoint, sister, so the news you want to sell had better be on the level. Okay, sister, now speak your piece.
Well, after the waiter leaves.
Oh, jittery, huh?
You'd be jittery, too, if you were in my spot.
In a jam?
Afraid of being bumped off, that's all.
Well, you're beginning to interest me.
Anything else?
No, not now.
Gee, thanks, pal.
All right. Well, he's gone. I'm listening.
How much will your paper pay for the exclusive inside dope on a murder?
Well, it depends on the murder. Some are in the dime a dozen class, you know.
How about the Cass Marlin killing?
Cass Marlin?
Yes.
This is a coincidence.
What's a coincidence?
Well, I was thinking about that shooting when you picked me up, that's all.
The dope on it's worth plenty, isn't it?
The real dope is.
I can give it to you.
Well, I'll have to be sure of that before I go to my city editor and proposition, you know. I can't pay out dough on my own, you know.
If I tell you who I am and how I know about the case, will you promise to keep it under your hat? Whether we make a deal or not?
Yep.
I guess I can trust you. Cass told me you never double-crossed anyone.
Cass told you about me, huh?
Yeah, that's why I looked you up when I hit this town tonight. I phoned your office first, and they said I might find you at the Blue Note Cafe. I was on my way over there when I saw you come out. I recognized you by a picture Cass had.
You must have been a close friend of Cass's.
He was going to marry me.
Yeah? What's your name, sister?
Edith Landell.
Edith Landell. It's funny, I've seen most of the police reports on the case, and I've come across no mention of a gal named Edith Landell.
You've heard Cass was getting a divorce, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, on that account, very few people knew I was his girlfriend. It had to be that way, because his wife's lawyers might have made something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty good answer. Well, give me one for this. If you cared enough for the guy to want to marry him, why didn't you go to the cops with this inside information?
You think I'm a phony, don't you?
You might be.
Well, listen, wise guy. I didn't say I cared anything about Cass. I was going to marry him because he was in the big dough. When he died, I saw myself out of his dough. The cops wouldn't pay me a dime for the information I had, and Cass owed me something one way or another. So I decided to cash in with a big newspaper. A bigger one than there is down in Florida. Yours. Is that straight enough for you?
Too straight to like very well.
I don't care what you think of me. I've got a story to sell. But you've got to act quick. I can't keep it bottled up any longer, even for dough, because the killer knows I'm onto him and he's after me. Now, any more questions?
Only the one for the big prize. Who's the killer?
I'll tell you that when I see money. $10,000.
$10,000?
My story's worth it, and papers like yours can pay it.
I've always wanted to see my city editor drop dead. He will when he hears that figure. Well, come on, I'll take you over to him.
No. Nobody must know anything about my part in this till the killers are all behind bars.
It was killer before, now it's plural.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's more than one man mixed up in this. And I'll tell you something else to prove that I'm on the level. The cops' theories are all wrong. They think Cass was killed so he couldn't ride Fireball, but...
What's the matter?
That big guy just walked up to the bar. He knows me.
Yeah, I know him.
You know who he works for?
Yeah. Steve Harold.
Look, I gotta get out of here quick. Mr. Casey, don't let him follow me. Stall him, hold him by force if you have to till I get away. Promise me you will.
This is an act, sister.
I swear it isn't. You say you know who that man is.
Okay, I'll hold him.
And lend me $5.
Lend you...
I haven't got enough for cab fare, and I've got to get away fast and far, please.
Well, I've always been a sap. Here's a fin.
Thanks. Look, I'll phone you at your office in an hour and tell you where to meet me, where it'll be safe. And don't let Denver Lane follow me. I'm going. Goodbye.
Hiya, Denver.
Hello, Casey. Noticed your gal friend left in quite a hurry.
Yeah. Had to run for a bus. You know her, Denver?
Never saw her before. Not a bad-looking bimbo. Who is she?
Well, just a pickup I made.
Didn't know you went in for pickups.
I have my moments.
Cigarette, Casey?
Yeah, thanks. You, no hurry to leave here?
Why should I be? I just come in.
Yeah, Denver, I have my moments.
With that story, you let her take you for $5, Casey?
Well, Annie, the act she put on was pretty solid. She had me hooked when she pulled a big scared act about Denver Lane. You know, the guy's a gunman and he works for Steve Harold, who's up to his neck in the racing racket. For a moment, the parts all seemed to fit.
Until Denver made no attempt to follow your little chum.
He stayed in the joint for half an hour, and then he walked over here to the express building with me.
In the rain?
Yeah. That's one break I got tonight, anyway. We were within 10 feet of where my car was parked when it started, so I just reached in and got my raincoat. Denver got soaked.
Well, put the raincoat on again. Let's go over to the Blue Note.
Yeah. Yeah, I see enough of this photographer's room when I'm on duty. It's over an hour now since Edith Landau said she'd phone me in an hour, so...
Have you been waiting here thinking that she might phone you?
Well, Annie, her act was almost too good for a $5 take. Oh, nuts. When I start being a sap, I keep it up, I guess. Come on, let's go.
Casey!
Hello, Moocher.
Are you a guy I'm glad to see?
Now listen, Moocher, I'm short on dough today.
Who wants dough? You don't start on a job till midnight, do you?
No.
Swell. You won't need your car till then.
My car?
Mine just had to be towed to the shop, and now City Desk has given me an assignment out in the sticks. Give me your keys, pal.
No. The last time you borrowed my car...
Could I help it about them two fenders?
Well, you could have paid to have them fixed,
anyhow. Miss Williams, I leave it to you. Shouldn't us press photographers stick together and help each other out?
Now, nuts with that stuff. Now,
I admit Casey's a better... button pusher than I am. He's a genius, the only one of his kind.
Now look here.
Which is all the more reason why he should give me succor in my hour of need. Casey, can a master like you let down a bum like me?
Yes.
Don't say that. No.
Oh, come on, give him the car keys, Casey. You know he'll get them if he has to cry real tears.
Oh, I guess you're right, Annie. All right, take him, Moochie.
Ah, my pal, my beloved colleague.
Get out.
Nay. I tarry for one further little favor.
All right.
Yes, the weather is inclement, and I came to work without mine raincoat.
All right, take mine.
Ah, my friend in need. And a perfect fit. My undying gratitude, Monsieur. And can you spare a cigarette?
Oh, that too. All right, here's half a pack and a book of matches. Now get out before I commit a little mayhem.
I go, master. I do thou's bidding. Goodbye, Miss Williams. Fair lady. Farewell.
He's really a character, Casey.
Oh, some character. You wouldn't think so if he was in your department. As I said before, when I start being a sap, Annie, I...
There's your desk phone.
Yeah, it might be that Edith.
As you said before.
Hello, Casey speaking. Oh, City Desk. Listen, Burke, I don't go on duty till 12, so I'm not going to take any assignments now. Well, of course I'll let you talk. Who's stopping you? Murder, huh? Strangled in a vacant lot. Sounds good. Yeah, I got the address, yeah.
Here we go again.
Any details? Identification found on the button.
What? What's that name again? Yes, we'll grab a cab and get out there right away.
Hey, what is it, Casey?
That dame, Edith Landau, was murdered about 15 minutes after she left me.
Our story will continue in just a moment.
All right, I only have to say it now. Our story will continue in just a moment. I didn't have to say it, see?
I like it better the way he said it, though.
Oh, he's got a deeper voice. That's the first portion of Casey Crime Photographer with the pickup. We'll have more after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Did you say it's going to be 49 degrees this week sometime?
Yep.
What
it's going to be
day?
49 on Monday. It's going to be rainy. But then after, I believe, Tuesday, temperatures will start dropping. And by the end of the week, we're going to be back in the deep freeze.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Ah.
Don't put away that heavy coat yet.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, 49 on Monday, though. That'll be nice.
If it wasn't raining and it was sunny out, it would actually feel like spring.
Wear that new bikini you bought.
Yeah, I probably would if it were 49 and sunny.
I'm talking about you, Roger.
I know.
I wasn't talking to Lisa.
I didn't know the pictures got out.
You're talking to me.
I didn't know the pictures.
Oh, but you do have some great pictures on Facebook, Roger. I will give you that.
In a bikini?
No. Well, yeah, I don't know. Yet. You should probably check
it
out.
It's not warm enough yet.
Okay.
Soon.
I'll put them on when it gets warm.
All right. All right, let's get back now to Casey, crime photographer.
Look at that body again, Casey. You're sure it's the woman who told you that story?
Definitely. I was sure of it after my first look, Logan.
Captain, her story must have been the truth.
I told you, Annie, I was more than half sold on that story of hers.
And she borrowed that five spot to take a cab from Farley's Tavern, huh?
So she said.
Yeah. This place is about 3 miles from Farley's. Now, assuming her story was true, she might have paid off the cab after the first mile or so to save money and started walking. The killer had been following her, and when she came to this block of vacant lots, he hopped out of his car and strangled her.
But Denver Lane was the guy she was afraid of, Logan. And Denver didn't follow her. He was with me at the time she was being strangled.
Yeah, but his boss, Steve Harold, wasn't with you.
Well, you cleared Harold of suspicion in the Cass Marlin murder, Captain.
No, we didn't clear him, Miss Williams. It was simply impossible to prove he had any part in it.
Hey, Captain Logan.
Yeah, Sergeant?
We just got a message for you on the car radio that I... Casey.
Huh? What's the matter?
Well, stop looking at me as if I was a ghost, Flanagan.
Casey, you're dead.
I'm what?
Well, if you're not, the message to just come in is all cockeyed.
What do you mean?
Headquarters says that Casey's dead body has just been found in the wreck of Casey's car.
Well, mooch her, Annie.
Oh, sure, he borrowed your car.
And had an accident.
Accident, nothing. There's two bullet holes in the dead guy's head.
Well, the thing's plain enough now, Casey. Denver Lane had spotted that girl before you and she went into Farley's.
Yeah, maybe before she picked me up outside the Blue Note, Logan. He had another of Steve Harrell's guys with him.
And the other gunman followed Edith Landell and killed her while Denver stuck close to you.
Sure, Miss Williams. Denver figured the Landell dame had given Casey the dope she had on the Marlin murder.
He couldn't risk any rough stuff during our walk to the express building, so he waited outside in a car. And when he saw a guy my size wearing my raincoat come out and get into my car...
Well, the information he thought you had to be suppressed. With you and the dame out of the way, there'd be no evidence.
Now, what are you going to do, Captain?
I'll show you, Miss Williams. Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Get headquarters on your radio and instruct everyone concerned to let no outsider have a close look at the body found in Casey's wrecked car. And tell them to give out information that it's definitely Casey's body.
Yes, sir.
Wait, Sergeant.
Yep.
Also, I want Denver Lane and Steve Harold brought to headquarters as soon as they can be found and kept in separate rooms. And instruct arresting officers to tell them nothing about anything. That's all.
Right, sir.
I get it, Logan. The old surprise treatment. Huh?
And a big surprise. If Sergeant Flanagan thought you were a ghost, the guys who think they killed you, they just might go to pieces and tell us what we want to know. Steve Harrell's cooling off in this room, Casey. Now, I'll go in alone, and you follow, and you hear me clear my throat.
Okay, love.
I hope this works.
Oh, it'll work, Miss Williams. You stay here with Casey. Here goes. Hello, Harold.
Oh,
good evening, Captain. Good morning, rather. Well, now that you're here, perhaps I'll get some information as to why I've been rudely conducted to this, unglamorous place.
My boys didn't tell you?
No. All they told me was to come along, and naturally, as a law-abiding citizen, I made no resistance despite the invasion of my constitutional rights.
No, stop talking like a book.
All right, Captain. But look, none of you cops have anything on me, and I'm definitely in the clear with your homicide bureau, so, well, what's the big idea?
A girl named Edith Landau was killed tonight.
Oh, really?
You've never heard of her, I suppose.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have.
Really?
Yes. Well, Landau isn't a common name, so I presume it's the same girl I met with Cass Marlin several months before he was killed. He'd fallen rather hard for the little gold digger.
Well, why didn't you tell me about the Landau girl when I questioned you on the Marlin case?
My dear fellow, you didn't ask me. Why do you suppose she was killed tonight?
Because she knew too much about Cass Marlin's murder. Uh-huh. And she told what she knew before she died, Steve.
You interest me. By the way, whom did she tell?
A man who also was killed.
Then you're still out on a limb.
Not quite. This man told the story to his newspaper associates before two bullets got him in the head.
Their evidence will be only second-hand hearsay. It wouldn't be admitted at a murder trial.
You know your law, don't you, Steve?
I know a little.
Excuse me, I have a little cold.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, hello, Casey. Nice to see you, boy. Go on with your story about the man who was killed, Captain. You two chaps look kind of strange. Anything upset you?
Nothing at all, Steve.
No, nothing at all.
Denver's the guy who tried to kill you, Casey. He obviously didn't get word to Steve Harold about the things that happened tonight. Now, we work the gag on Denver now.
All right, all set, pal. It ought to work on Denver.
You say this newspaper guy who was shot spilled the dope he got from the Landau dame?
That's right, Denver.
Well, it's no break for you, Captain. The courts don't accept that kind of third-hand evidence.
You're right again.
Oh, if only the poor guy was alive.
Yeah. Excuse me, a little cold.
Hello, Denver.
Well, nice to see you again, Casey.
Yeah?
Casey and I had quite a get-together at Farley's place tonight, Captain.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't spill this on him, but he was in there with the crummiest-looking pickup you've ever seen.
Nuts to you and your ideas, Logan.
No, Casey, nuts to you.
Your big act fell flat with both Denver and Steve Harold, huh, Casey?
Yeah, so flat it busted all over the place, Ethelbert.
Well, neither of those men could have thought Casey was dead. Both of them are ice-cold characters, but no guilty person could have taken the shock of his appearance without some giveaway reaction.
Yeah, you'd think so. They didn't even flicker an eyelash, either one of them.
Maybe they was tipped off in advance that it was really poor Moocher who was shot.
No. Logan went over that angle before we made our play. He says a cop on the scene kept everybody away from the body. Nobody got close to it at all except other cops. Besides, after two heavy caliber bullets go through a guy's head, Ethelbert, it's sometimes pretty hard to tell who he was.
Maybe the killer knows by now he didn't get you, Casey, so he'll try again.
Oh, that's covered, thank goodness. Captain Logan has assigned two bodyguards to Casey.
Yeah. A louse.
That innocent-looking gray-haired man over in the corner is one. And Sergeant Flanagan is hanging around outside.
You know, I just got to find the killer in order to get those guys out of my hair. I can't stand it. Hey.
Yeah?
Annie, I just remembered something. You know, I've been a dope.
That's a surprising confession.
Look, Edith Landau was about to tell me something when she saw Denver. And then she got scared and stopped cold. She said... Wait a minute, let me think. She said the cops' theories are all wrong. They think Cass was killed so he couldn't ride Fireball. And that's as far as she got.
Well, all the original suspicion of Steve Harold was based on the idea that he didn't want Fireball to win.
Sure. Ethelbert!
Don't bark at me like that, Casey. I'm a nervous guy.
Certainly are. Well, okay, all right. But look, when did Britt Hutchins leave this joint tonight? Tell me that.
Britt Hutchins?
Yes, the horse trainer who was on vacation while his stable is racing out west.
Why, he went out the door right after you did.
Ah, then he saw me talking with that girl. He could have seen me going to Farley's with her. He could have followed when she left there alone. He even could have strangled her to death and gotten back to the express building in time to see Moocher get in my car. Then Hutchins could have followed him and thought it was me.
But Hutchins was a friend of Cass Marlin's. He couldn't have...
No, friendship in a gambling racket seldom goes deeper than the money pocket. And horse trainers should only take vacations when their horses do. Annie, come on.
Where?
We're going to tell Logan to find Hutchins.
Yeah, Casey.
See you later, Ethelbert.
Now, wait for your gray-haired bodyguard, Casey.
Never mind. He's just... Those bodyguards can't keep up with me. I'll be very happy. There's a cab, Annie. Hey, taxi!
Oh, Casey!
Annie, duck!
Casey, I'm shooting you! Are you hit?
Oh, I'm okay.
Oh, no.
Flanagan, get him! Get him!
We got him, Casey! Let me go! Let me go!
Okay.
Well, hello, Britt. So you were the guy, and you missed me again, huh?
No, he didn't miss you. Help, get a doctor! There's blood all over Casey's head. He's dying.
Annie, I'll bet you 2-1 that for the second time tonight, the report of my death will be greatly exaggerated.
What would you have on your breakfast toast? Orange marmalade where tart and sweet commingle, or blackberry jam evoking memories of that cool early morning walk through the woods? Apple butter fragrant as an autumn orchard? The ruby flash of currant jelly or strawberry jam? But why choose only one? Serve them all. Grace the breakfast table with a symphony of delicious taste and luscious color. Stir up appetites. Start the morning right. Supply quick energy for an active day. Yes, brighten up the breakfast toast with preserves, jellies, and jams brought to you by those packers of the finest foods, the preserve industry of America. Now, naturally, these experienced packers bring you preserves packed in glass. Clean, sanitary glass safeguards wholesomeness and flavor. Crystal clear glass provides a rainbow of color on your table. Anchor glass containers and modern anchor hocking sealing methods bring you flavor at its peak. Anchor glass containers and anchor caps are both products of anchor hocking. The most famous name in glass.
You feel okay now, Casey?
Oh, sure, Ethelbert. That bullet only grazed my forehead.
Yeah, well, if it had struck you only a half an inch deeper...
Well, as Britt Hutchins will tell you, Annie, many a horse has lost a race by half an inch. And I think, as a matter of fact, this bandage is very becoming. So is the little hospital nurse who put it on.
It isn't, and she wasn't.
Annie, you shouldn't be like that, not to an invalid.
Tell me, Casey, what did Hutchins have to say when they got him down to headquarters?
Well, he confessed that he killed Marlin because his jockey friend had double-crossed him.
That was a hot one.
You see, he made Cass Marlin a little proposition.
Cass was to ride Corn Popper and lose, see?
Corn Popper?
Yeah. Well, that was the last horse Cass rode before he died. Corn Popper was a comparatively unimportant horse, Ethelbert, in a comparatively unimportant quarter-mile race. Mm. So attention was centered on Fireball and the big Alderstone trophy.
Well, to cut off the alibis, Ethelbert, instead of riding Corn Popper to lose, as he'd promised Hutchins, Cass Marlin brought him in first. And Hutchins lost every dollar he'd been able to beg, borrow, or steal. So his feelings were hurt, and he killed Marlin.
Cass had told his gal about the play, and she witnessed the shooting, so Hutchins had to get her, too.
And when he finally caught up with her, she was being confidential with Casey. Well, you know the rest.
Yeah, you better be careful about making pickups from now on, Casey.
Mm-hmm. I'll say he had.
Oh, I don't know. I have my moments.
Yeah, but like my sister Edna says, quote, "You can never tell when one moment's gonna be the next."
Oh, no.
Yeah, unquote.
Right. Prime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Deese. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Minor as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. Thursday night on CBS is the biggest show in town. So stay tuned for exciting dramatizations on Reader's Digest Radio Edition, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Casey Crime Photographer from May 22nd, 1947, with the pickup starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey Crime Photographer. A good show, as heard on the CBS Radio Network, sponsored by Anchor Hawking Glass. Remember, I went to that place and I bought a bunch of Anchor Hawking little juice glasses.
Yeah, they're really nice.
I think we
nice.
Posted it on the Facebook page.
I was just sorry you didn't buy some for me.
Anchor Hawking did some really nice glasses back in the day.
They still do, apparently.
Really? No, these were from the 1940s.
Really?
Those glasses that I posted were like little juice glasses from the 1940s.
Did you not buy some recently?
I bought them, but they were in an antique shop.
Oh, I did not realize that.
So, very good. Stotts Cotsworth as Casey Crime Photographer.